Sorry about that. I had to start my recording. All right. So true foundation at the top of the page, and this is showing us that our foundation has to be right. And it says there is only one reliable foundation. 1 Corinthians 3, 10 through 15 says, by the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should be careful how he builds. For no one, this is an important part of this, no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if you notice what Paul is saying, what the apostle's job was to lay the foundation of Christ. That's the apostles, you know, the 12 and the others that came after them. Their initial job was to lay the foundation of Christ. That was the most important part there. And then he said, others build on that. The building is your life, your ministry. Do you understand that? Okay? The building is your life, your ministry. He says in verse 12, if any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, or hay, his work will be shown for what it is. So now, this is, if you just use this verse, if a person is on the right foundation, he is going to heaven. And I'll show you why I know this. But I'll explain what all this means, okay? His work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. But if it's burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved. Did y'all catch that? Okay? But only as one escaping through the fire. So you have some that are going to have the strong foundation, build nothing on it. They're just going to make it in. Do you understand that? They'll make it into heaven, no rewards. Okay? Don't go into detail what that means. Some people are like, well, as long as I make it in heaven, I'll be happy. Okay? There's a reason why he says this, and there's a lot of people who have this. Now, the foundation part, as long as you're on that, you're safe in heaven. It's like he said, it'll be saved. But the what it'll be seen. So now, how you live your life, I notice it's kind of skipping. How you live your life, you want to turn that one on? How you live your life will be fully based on what God says. So the more I invest, when he looks at the materials used here, when you look at the materials used here, when he starts off with gold, he's basically saying, when I invest 100% or complete in the most valuable in God, that's the most valuable house on the best, on the only true foundation. Does that make sense? I'm building a mansion on a solid foundation. That means I'm going to get the greatest and full amount of rewards that I can get. That's going to be the good, well done, my good and faithful servant. Do y'all get that? Okay? But the lower you go, that means the more you start investing with stuff down here, the more you start using excuses, the more you start bypassing God, the more you start doing stuff your way, the more you start ignoring the Bible, but you're still, once again, full foundation of Christ, then you'll get less rewards to no rewards. Does that make sense? All right, a lot of people don't grasp this, but I just want to make sure you get that. So the foundation, as I have under it, is the foundation. It's what holds everything up, what it's based on. This is what makes or breaks the building. Okay, the key you have to understand, the building is the actual structure. It may look different from person to person. So the key I want you to understand on the foundation is what it's based on. The way I know I'm building on the right foundation is because it's going to be what my house is based on or built on. Do you understand that? Or purpose. Everybody say purpose. Purpose. Okay, that's going to be the key. So if my purpose is anything else, that's going to dictate my foundation, if that makes sense. Yes.
So how is it different from someone who says they believe in Christ, but they're not really doing anything? So you said your foundation is Christ, but you didn't do anything, you don't get any rewards.
So that's the key. If their foundation is Christ, you're going to see in what they did, it's still going to be based on Christ. What they did is biblical, but they invested just enough. Do you get where I'm coming from? Now, if somebody says, I want to know what just enough is so I can do that, you don't want to play that game. But that's how some people are living. The stuff they do is still out of the Bible, but they do just enough. While some people live 100% for God. Every aspect of their life is focused and based on God. Everything you go to them and ask them, they'll give you what the Bible says. That's why I'm doing what the Bible says. Everything. That's the goal. The one who has straw is a person who's still based on God, but they just did just enough. And don't go in too deep into examples, because then people will be trying to measure, hey, where I'm at. What I encourage you to do is go for gold. That's why Paul said, run the race like you're going to win the race. Don't try to look at it and say, well, am I at least halfway there? I want some of the rewards. Don't do that. That's why he doesn't go into too much detail, because then we start, oh, maybe the way you do want to be, that's why you work out your life with fear and trembling. You want to go, I want to go for gold. Does that make sense?
You might even know if you made it now.
Yeah, exactly. But the key to know the foundation is going to be what you're doing based on purpose. What was the purpose for you doing that? What is the purpose for you going to church? What is the purpose for you getting married? What is the purpose for you having kids? What is the purpose for you doing this? What is the purpose for you doing that? Purpose. That's what it's based on. That's your foundation. So everything will be done based on the Bible. But some people then do less. Okay, but that's just giving that understanding on that. But they still do it based on God. They're saved. The ones who are doing it based on something else, that's why you have some people who are doing what looks like a godly thing, but they're not doing it based on Christ. They're headed to heaven. Pharisees, Sadducees, religious leaders. If you went back to that time, they were the most religious people that people wanted to live up and say. And I mean, Jesus was telling them, the darkest darkness is reserved for you guys. Do you understand that? Because they gave off the image of being spiritual and these great holy men. Well, in reality, no, their foundation was not right. Everybody get that? Okay, so let's understand then, making sure our foundation. So what this is going to do, we're going to start off with explaining how the foundational part works. Then I'm going to show you other foundations versus what they should be. Let's put it that way. Okay, other foundations that are all wrong, and how they should be, and I'll show you what when we get there. First of all, making sure your calling is sure. It says in 2 Peter 1:10-11, 2 Peter 1:10-11. It says, therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. Stop there for a minute. So now, once again, for those who have the eternal security minds in there, why do I have to make it sure? If I just say these words, aren't I saved? No. I have to make sure it's sure. So he says, be all the more that your calling and election are sure. He says, for if you do these things, remember in 2 Peter 1, that's that ingredients where he says, if you add to faith, knowledge, that's knowledge, and so on and so forth. He said, if you do these things, increasing measures. Remember, he gave that. He says, for if you do these things, you will never fall. Okay? And you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So now immediately, that verse right now is one of those that gives us a recipe. Okay? Without raising your hands, just think to yourself, how many of you, when you read that, said, he just gave me, I hung up on the wall, and that's what I'm following. How many of us really did that? You know, I mean, we did that sermon, recipe of success, or that recipe, you know, that you'll never fall, recipe, you know, the perfect, of perfection. And people read it, we go amen, and then we move on to the next sermon. Right? If we were going for gold, we were like, oh, he gave me the answers. It's like a teacher coming around saying, you want an A on the test, here's your answers. Now I'm going to teach. And you're sitting there with the answers. He gave you the answer, and you still put the answers down and go, okay, I'm going to try hard to notice. It's called stupid after that, because we have the answer, and that's what God gives. He gives us the answers, and we still try to do it our way. Does that make sense? Okay, and that's where it becomes dangerous. So I'm going to make it sure by going back to the answer sheet. How do I make my calling election sure? He says, for if you do these things, you will never fall. He just gave me the answer to it. Now, understand, it is extremely dangerous for us to change wrong for right. Okay? Very, very dangerous. This is where purpose is going to come in. It says in Isaiah 5, verse 20, woe to those who call evil good, and good evil. Now remember, I told you in the Bible, anytime it says "woe," you don't want to be on the other end of that. Okay, we know in the Bible the major plagues during tribulation, that's when the woes start happening, and you don't want to be on the other end. And he's saying, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, and put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." Now, I don't know if you remember in the sermon we went over under culture where it says in Philippians where it says whatever is noble, whatever is, kind of whatever is, and I said the key words are in there is whatever is. And why? Because we have allowed culture or the world to take something and make it good to me. There are certain things you probably think are noble that I'm looking at and go, you know, think about it. There are certain sports players that we almost hold up as kings. You know, they're just play sports. they might be good at sports. I remember Michael Jordan. You almost think he was a saint. He played basketball. You understand what I'm saying? He was good at it, okay. But, I mean, we wanted to hold him up on a pedestal. People do with the presidents. We all of a sudden become president. Do we bow down? No, they're just another person. Do you understand that? We are not to do that. So he's saying, woe to me the minute I give it that title. If it's not right, if a man is evil, man are evil. Do you understand that? I can't go. I know the Bible says this, but Michael Jordan told me. Do you understand that? Do y'all see the danger? Because we've made them high. So he says, woe to the person who now takes something and calls evil good when God didn't do it, and basically calls darkness light and calls bitter for sweet. When I take something that's not and make it good, I'm in trouble. Okay? That's a warning to us to understand. Make sure what you're saying is good is good. And you may say, Pastor, how do I do that? Who knows the answer? Yes. What's that? Only God. Why? Because he is the way, the truth, the life. So if it's your answer and you give me your reason because I've seen it and because it looked this way and because it felt this way and because people said it, then we're in trouble. You understand that? Woe to a person that teaches that. Okay? Now, altogether, we are in dangerous time where we are dictating what's preached to us, not God. Okay, and let me say it again. We are in dangerous times where we are dictating what's preached to us, not God. So we're dictating I'm going to tell you what I want you to tell me. I don't want you to tell me what God says. And that's what's dangerous. He says that in 2 Timothy 4. 2 Timothy 4, 3 through 5. 2 Timothy 4, 3 through 5 says, for the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Do you understand that's a choice? He's saying there's going to come a time when men, basically they're going to say, I know it's in the Bible, but, and we're doing that right now. There are things in the Bible, I know all of us know it's there very clearly, and we're kind of, well, right? We made some, I know other people that are doing worse than that. I know it's wrong, but, and that's what he's saying. Men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, look, watch this, to suit their own desires. Do y'all see what happened? The purpose changed. Not to serve God, to suit their own desires. They will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. Bad churches, which are in trouble, are not a product of bad churches. They're not a product of people going out searching for people to take on bad stuff. Bad churches are a product of people who want bad stuff given to them. You understand that? I was watching a show on TV and they wanted to do this march for them to get rid of certain bad things on television. They shouldn't put that stuff on there. Y'all do know it would work if we just didn't watch it. Right? I mean, it would go right off, right? You notice that? You don't watch something, it goes off. So obviously, somebody's watching it. It has to be a lot of people to watch it for it to stay on. You got where I'm coming from. So that's not the problem. It's not the stuff presenting. The problem is the people. Okay, so when we understand that, we realize, man, I have to make sure my purpose, serving God, and not my purpose to for my desires. It says, they will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths, but you, now here's our answer, keep your head in what? All situations. Everybody say all. What does that include? Everything. So when he says keep your head in all situations, you're going to go in some situations where these people that are doing this, it seems like everything's working out for them. Sight. Everybody say sight. Everybody say sight. Do y'all catch that? How many times do you see some people doing wrong and it seems like it's working out for them? He's saying, no, you keep your head. Because his question is not going to go, did it work for you? His question is going to go, but what did I tell you to do? Did y'all get this? Well, everybody else did it and it worked. What did I tell you to do? And that's what he's saying. Keep your head in. Endure hardship. What does it mean to endure it? Deal with it. And not just deal with it. Go through it. Persevere in it. Do the work of an evangelist. What does that mean?
Spread the gospel.
Spread the gospel. Yeah, evangelists travel. Evangelists travel. Their job was to spread the churches, and all that threat. So we do that same work. When you go to work, you evangelize. When you go on vacation, you evangelize. When you're at home, you evangelize. I mean, wherever you go, you evangelize. And I don't mean you preaching anybody. When they see your life is a light. You look for opportunities. And this is discharge all the duties of your ministry. Your ministry is your life. So your life is there to minister. not to serve you. So if you ever do, me and my wife messed up on this a couple of times. We would go on vacation sometimes, and we go, I don't care, we'll never see them again. That's the worst thing. Man, that's the worst thing. No, that's not the answer. It's not how you do it. It is, man, this is an opportunity. I'm going to minister to them because I may never see them again. Y'all see the difference? The first one was, I'm doing me. I'm on vacation. Forget them because I'll never see them again. But about them, it's, oh, man, I have an opportunity because I may never see them again. Based on God, loving others the way we're supposed to. So we are in dangerous times where we want to hear what we want to hear, not what God says. So understand the true foundation, we're going to see is explained. Okay? He gave detail of exactly what that true foundation is. Luke 6, 46 through 49. Now watch what he says. So here's your answer to the true foundation. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Right there is going to be the clear part. Okay? A Christian, you'll see, will display the Word of God. I didn't say the Word of God. Will display the Word of God. That's why he says faith without works is dead. A lot of people are saying, Jesus, you're my Lord, but I'm doing everything else under the sun against what his Word is saying. You understand that? That's why I say it comes down to purpose. He says, I will show you what he is like who comes to me and hears my word and puts them into practice. Y'all see the two things there? Okay? So if he is truly my foundation, first, hear my words. That's the first part. So it doesn't just mean I read the Bible. I'm going to church to hear the word. And not just going to church to hear the word. If I go to church and then I'm thinking of 8 million other things or I'm being preoccupied, I already blew it. Y'all get that? Okay? Or if I go to a church because they say what I want to hear, I already blew it. Do you understand? But my purpose, like the brands, eager to receive what it's saying, making sure it's in the word, and then I do it. That's a person on the right foundation. Y'all get that? Okay? And unfortunately, not many are on that, are they? It says, he is like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on a rock. That's the person. So he just answered. He gave the ingredients of building on the right foundation. Here's my words. Puts them into practice. Here's my words. And that means his word. It doesn't just mean you go to church. It doesn't just mean you listen to somebody say something. It means you're going to church. And if they're not preaching his word, what are you going to do? I got to go find another church. You don't just go, well, at least I went to church. At least I was there. You know what I mean? I got to hear the word and put it into practice, okay? It says, when the flood came, the torrent struck the house, but could not shake it because it was well built. But when one who hears my words, and that person, because the people that don't even hear the word, they already blew it. They're already in trouble. But this one, he hears the word, so he's going, he receives it, but does not put them into practice. He's saying, he's just as bad as like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck the house, it collapsed it and destruction was complete. Two things I want you to understand. First of all, the hearing of the word and put it into practice, that's the ingredients. And if you don't do it, you're on the wrong foundation. That's clear as day. Secondly, the same thing happens to them both. Did y'all catch that? I know we like to think, because I'm a Christian, favor means storms won't hit me. No. And when I'm not a Christian, it means storms don't hit me. No. What it says, Christians are affected differently in the exact same world. Did y'all catch that? Okay? So as a Christian, both of us are going to walk down the same street, a Christian and a non-Christian. We're going to be in the same storm, may get mugged by the same person, may go through the same problems, but it's going to affect the Christian much differently than it's going to affect the other person. The other Christian is going to be solid. Non-Christian, they're going to crash. Y'all see the difference? Please understand that. It's what it does for you in any situation. That's why Paul said, I had to learn what it means to be content in any and every situation. It's not about the situation. We made it about the situation. We made it, because I'm a Christian, then I'll never get sick. Everything will happen for me. I'll have all the money in the world. Things will work out for me. And I keep going back to, y'all remember the story of Lazarus and the rich man? And if I asked y'all, and you didn't know the story, who would you rather be? Immediately, y'all be like, rich man. And then I give you the ending of the story. Here, wait a minute. Because Lazarus wasn't doing too good. And he's in heaven. The rich man's in hell begging, can I go tell somebody? Do you understand that? Don't get caught up on how it looks and what you think. Go on what he says. Do y'all get this? Everybody understand that? So that's what I'm saying. The torrent is going to happen. The storm is going to happen to all of us. His protection is what I build my foundation on. So if I build on solid rock and prepare. So all of us, when you're born, stuff's going to, there's certain things that you were already is planned to happen. Certain things that you did on your own that was going to happen. There's certain things that God was like, this is going to happen in Keith's life. And what was to hold me solid and for me to minister was for me to build on him. Not, let me live my life so it doesn't happen. How many of us did that? You know, we live our lives hoping it doesn't happen. Trying to live our lives avoiding it from happening. Does that make sense? You understand? You know, I told you a story about the two people. One guy, I mean, he saved his money. He did what he was supposed to. He invested it wisely. He followed the right people. He was a very responsible person when, you know, the world says it with his money. Other guy spent his money, did everything, you know, messed up with his money he wasn't supposed to. And then one day, the guy who did everything with his money, the market crashed. He lost everything. And he was like, man, I can't believe it. I was responsible. The one who spent all his money found out that he had an uncle that had a ton of money, and he died and got inheritance of multi-million. And people look at it and go, it's so unfair, because you're looking at the situation. As a Christian, if you got rich or if you got poor, you go, Lord giveth, Lord taketh away. I still got God. Do y'all get where I'm coming from? You would be prepared to lose all of it. You would be prepared to gain all of it. Okay? And that's the key you have to understand. The foundation is not the situation. Okay? So understand, make no mistake, the Bible is the Word of God. Okay? And I throw this out there because that's going to be the hearing the Word. So the way you test, like the Bereans, is you hear what I'm saying and you go back and say, let me see what the Bible says. 2 Timothy 3:15 through 17 says, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ. Okay, so the Scriptures is what gives us, is where we display and gain faith in Christ. Faith comes from hearing, hearing from the Word of God. It says all, everybody say all. All Scripture is God-breathed. That's why I said, I struggle when people go, well, Paul said, Peter said, John said, no. Paul wrote down what God said. Peter wrote down what God said. Do y'all see where I'm going with this? Okay, they might have been able to say it in their own words, whatever, but it's from God. That's why I'm saying it's God breathed. That's why you can't go, well, Paul's saying this. That's why we don't have to listen to it. I've heard people say that many times. Dangerous. All Scripture is God breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Do we get this? Everybody see that? Okay, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. The Bible gives us exactly what, so I can hear that word and do what he says. Everything you need is in there. The problem we struggle with, don't like the answer all the time. Yes, you have to, a lot of stuff he tells you, you're like, oh, don't like that answer. Well, how about if I do it this way, godly? I gave you the answer. Yeah. What about if I do it this way, godly? I gave you the answer. The Bible gave you what you needed. So we're going to look at some dangerously poor foundations and what makes them poor. Okay? And we may see ourselves in some of these. Okay? And then we're using the Bible to show what makes them poor. First of all, and then some of these are very common foundations that people live on. These are your purposes. First of all, the family and tradition foundation. Very common. A lot of people hold this up high. And what is that foundation? As long as it's supported by my family and my traditions, I've been taught, then I'll follow it. Other than that, we have a problem. How many people have that? In other words, we've always done this. The Smith family have always been, and we take pride, and we have done this. And you get people that have that mentality, and you see that, and some people actually envy that. I wish I had that. And we pass this on through generation to generation, and do you understand that? And that's a problem. But look what the Bible says. The Bible shows that my family was never meant to be the purpose. Never. Ever. Okay? It says in Matthew 10 verse 37 says, anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Simply put, they are never the purpose. They are part of your life, part of how you build your house. So I have my kids to glorify God. I marry my wife to glorify God. My marriage to glorify God. Not I do it well. And I've said that. I made mistakes many times in which I know the Bible will say something about, but like, I don't feel like hearing my wife's mouth. I don't want to hear her get mad, so I won't do it. That right there, I showed I wasn't worthy of it. Y'all see how dangerous something that simple is? And that's a very common practice in which we'll go, I know the Bible says this, but you know what? Very dangerous. Very, very dangerous. And we don't want to be in that position. Okay? So the family was never meant to be the purpose. So those who have that traditional family pride, not a foundation, sinking sand. Okay? So got another one. Cultural foundation. Cultural foundation. As long as it fits what my culture says, it's right and sacred when I follow it. Here's the problem. You're going to see different people follow different ways, and it could be, like I said, like I went over with you, how culture works. It can be from the country you're from, the country you're in. It could be your race. It could be the group you're around. It could be your family in that. It's the culture is that thing that you allow to define you. And a lot of people take a lot of pride in it. That's why I'm saying a big cultural thing is in politics, the political parties. People are such strong Democrats or such strong Republicans. I don't care how dead wrong you are. Now, God's letting us know, you let that culture fix you. He made very clear, man has the habit of putting traditions and teachings of men before God. Isn't that what he showed us? Okay, God is not honoring any of these parties. And watch what he says in Mark 7, 5 to 10. It says, bless you. It says, so the Pharisees and the teachers of the law asked Jesus, why don't your disciples live according to the traditions of the elders instead of eating their food with unclean hands? Now remember, the elders, they made the books called the Talmud. Okay, and you may have heard that. And a lot of the stuff that you hear in the Pharisees say to Jesus, why aren't you doing it, came from this book. And what it was these were men that followed the Bible, and then they thought they were such extra, we have extra stuff we should do. So they started adding extra teachings that God didn't say. And one of it was, everybody must clean your hands and it had to be a certain way or you were unclean. Okay? Now from the Bible, these men said it. Politics are the same way. You get these people that say, this is what's right. This is what you need to do. None from God. It's what they say it is. Okay? So it goes on to say, in verse 6, he replied, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites. As it is written, these people honor me with their lips. In other words, we say, praise God, glorify God, all this other stuff. But their hearts are far from me. Remember, your hearts are your purpose. If I really praised him, I do it for him. Immediately, those people would say, I don't care what the elders say. What did God say? Did y'all catch this? Okay. And he says, they worship me in vain. In vain means what? Meaningless. Yeah. You're just going through the motions. And which a lot of people are doing, going through the motions, okay? They're there, but they're more of a Democrat or more of a Republican than they are a Christian. In fact, I'm saying more of, they are a Democrat or they're a Republican that calls himself a Christian. And the problem is, he's saying, no, you're worshiping in vain. You're going through the motions, you're still headed to hell. And hopefully your political party's there too. It says, their teachings are but rules taught by men. Do y'all catch this? Okay? It says, you have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to the traditions of men. I don't know any political party in the world that has completely held on to the complete commands of God. Not one. Never has been none. Y'all get this? Okay? We're going to do what some man said, follow some things that man said, and not follow what God says. He says, and he said to them, you have a fine way of setting aside the commands of God in order to observe your own traditions. Amen? Any questions? I will stop there, and God willing, we will finish up this next week or continue on it next week. Amen? All right. Let's pray.